Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by UCAN, smarter energy to finish stronger, by VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shops, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 3,921 grants totaling $5.9 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com, all of your favorite podcast apps. As always, Endurance lives here. She is the reigning world champion at adaptive surfing from the AmpSurf ISA World Para Surfing World Championship, which was held earlier in March. Her name is Liv Stone. Liv, how you doing?
I'm good, Bob. How are you?
I am spectacular. So being here in San Diego is pretty fun compared to being back in Pennsylvania?
Oh, yeah. We're loving the weather and the ocean and the great community here for sure.
Love that. So growing up, how do you define what the affliction is that you have?
Yeah, I'm a bilateral above the elbow congenital amputee. So I was born with both my arms shorter on each hand, and I have two fingers on each hand. And I don't know any differently
right
than what I am. So yeah, I was just born this way.
Exactly. So as a little girl, how did other kids are so honest, right? Kids, I'm sure, just walked up to you and said, what's going on?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like, growing up, I've had all different kinds of questions
yeah.
and, like, how'd that happen? And I just, you know, I struggled with it when I was little. But, you know, now I understand that they just don't know.
And, like,
they just don't know. And they're just curious. And so I try and be patient with everyone. but yeah, I mean, like, I just tell them that I was born like this. This is how God made me, and this is who I am.
I remember with Rudy Garcia Tolson, double above knee amputee, he told me that for, you know, as a little kid, it took him a while to realize that it was just, people were just being curious, that they weren't being mean, but he understood that every time he walked out of the house, that people would notice him. Right. There's like a spotlight. Every time Liv goes anywhere, there's a spotlight. People are going to notice. And you either shrink from that or you grow from it. And obviously you've embraced it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely when I was younger, I thought that like people staring and asking was like offensive. And sometimes it is. But most of the time they just don't know. They've never seen someone like me, and they just want to know, like, what happened. And, you know, it took me a while to get to the place where I am today, but now I'm just, like, I'm pretty, you know, like, okay with everything. And I do understand that every time I do leave the house, like, when I go to the mall or I go out to eat with friends, like, I will get stares. And, like, I just, like, that's just who I am, and I have to be okay with that.
Absolutely. So growing up, I can see it. If I'm a parent, I'm going, okay, my kid's got short arms. She's going to be a runner. She's going to be a soccer player. We're going to do something where hands and arms aren't really part of the equation. Is that what happened with you?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. When I've been playing soccer since I was six. And, you know, soccer, you just basically use your legs, you run, and you don't have to use your arms at all. And I did play basketball for a little bit, but then I realized, like, hey, like, I'm going to fall really far behind because, like, I have to use my arms a lot, and it just, like, wasn't working out. So I figured out that soccer was good for me until about sophomore year in high school, and then I found surfing, and then, like, I kind of left behind soccer and followed my dreams.
So as somebody from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, how the heck do you find surfing?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I surfed for the first time out here in San Diego, and then I got asked to come out to Encinitas for the Bro-Am for CAS.
Right.
And they brought me out here, and I surfed for like a week with different volunteers and people like me and
Rob Machado.
Yes, Rob Machado.
Yeah, legend.
I worked with him. And so I just was really like, I was just really engrossed in the sport then. And I just like really loved it. So, and then I went home and I was like back into reality because, you know, I wasn't in San Diego. I was in Lancaster. And I ended up finding a coach through CAS on the East Coast. And
so you would have to drive, New Jersey or something?
Yes. I drove to Jersey every weekend almost to surf. And
that's a couple hours each way.
Yes. That's like 2 hours one way.
So you obviously surfing was something you loved right away.
Yeah, I knew that like if I didn't have to worry about travel, I didn't have to worry about anything, I didn't have to worry about my sleep schedule, getting up early and going, I knew that I really loved this sport and it was like something super special.
So you're driving back and forth to the Jersey Shore to surf. And
yes.
Then you get the call from Danny Burt?
Yes, I got a call from Danny Burt, who was the captain at that time for the USA surf team. And she asked me to fill a spot for the standing division for women. And I was ecstatic. And I surfed for the first time ever in a competition 2 years ago, I think it was. And I surfed at the World Championships. And for the adaptive surfing team, which was super amazing.
So when I think of a sport where you need your arms, surfing is sort of that sport, right? Because you got to, people think of it, you're catching a wave, but you got to paddle out to catch the wave.
Exactly. You got to, there's so many different aspects. You got to paddle out. You got to make it out. You got to duck dive. You got to paddle into a wave. You have to use your arms to pop up. So like, there were definitely so many challenges that I had to, you know, figure out and overcome. And we were, you know, me and my mom and coaches have just developed like these prosthetics on my arms so that they help, it can help me paddle. And so, yeah, I've been using this to paddle and like getting custom boards in order like to fit my type of surfing and the way I surf.
Right.
And yeah, just figuring all about all different types of equipment.
So when you come out here for the Worlds, and when you learned, I saw pictures, Rob Machado on the back of the board. He's sort of shoving you into the wave. When you came out, did you know that you would have to paddle yourself and there wouldn't be somebody shoving you into the wave?
Yeah, so Danny told me that when she called me and so I was like, what? Like, how the heck am I going to do this? I've always gone out with a coach. I've always gone out with, like, a group of people to help me out because, you know, I wasn't super comfortable in the water. I wasn't super confident in my ability to be able to paddle into a wave. So I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to pass up this opportunity, so I'll just figure it out. And, you know, so we went to Worlds, and then I trained with Sean Brody, who's the coach for Team USA. I just like went out there and I figured it out and I was like, well, this isn't that hard. Like I can definitely do this. And yeah.
That's so cool. So you're 16. I think you were like 16 at that time.
And yes,
you,
I was 16.
Yeah, 16. And you go back home to Lancaster and basically say, hey, mom and dad, I'd sort of like to move to San Diego and surf professionally, because eventually by 2028, the Paralympics will embrace surfing. Surfing will be, if not in 2024. Yes. So how did that go over? I think I'm just going to move west because I'm 16 and I can handle myself. I'll get a place. I'll be fine.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of crazy. after Worlds, you know, I just was like, mom and dad, like, you can see how much I love the sport. And my brothers are in college, so it was like they're away from the house, and it's like kind of a perfect time. And it was just me, and I was like, I love the sport. I want to get even better at it. I want to do it every day. I want to train. It's something that is my passion. And, you know, they really saw that. And so we were talking about it a lot more seriously eventually, and then we found a place out here, and, you know, me and my mom and dad packed up our things and drove across the country.
That's so cool. And meanwhile, now it's funny because you came out here and I was like, oh, how's she going to do this being taking school remotely? Now everybody's taking school remotely.
I know. It's crazy with the whole coronavirus. Now everyone's doing it.
Yes. Oh, that is so wild. So were you also on a rifle team? Did I read something about a rifle team?
Oh, yeah. Back in Lancaster, for freshman and sophomore year in high school, I was on the rifle team, and we shot prone, and we shot, you know, we competed against different schools. We shot targets, and it was pretty cool. Like, my brothers did the sport. They were captains when they were in high school, and, you know, I love the community there. So, and I've always liked to shoot targets, and so I joined the team, and then I ended up being on varsity freshman and sophomore year, and, like, I competed, and it was pretty cool.
That is really cool. And was it working with Sean Brody in terms of developing the prosthetic, or not prosthetic, but just sort of the paddle that you use while you surf?
Yeah. Well, I didn't use the prosthetics for that competition because they weren't, like, allowed at that time.
I got it.
And so I was just, you know, trying to not use them. But it was actually my dad and I's idea. We were like, I feel like it was like at LAX airport. We were like, I have no idea what we're doing, but we were just talking, you know, you have like hours to yourself.
Right.
And we were just like, I need something. Like, I need to be able to use something. And then he was talking about like neoprene gloves, and I'm like, no, that's not going to work. And then we just like found these things on Amazon and like ordered them, and I started using them, and then we, you know, rigged them up to fit me. We adjusted them, and we made them like my own, and then like they've been my paddle ever since.
That is so cool.
I knew I needed something to help me get into the wave and like paddle out there, and it was definitely a game changer for me.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. We have our swim coach, Alan Voisard, who coaches all of our challenge athletes. We had a quadruple amputee, Melanie Ben, years ago, and he developed a hand paddle to go on her stumps so that she would pull and it would open, right, when she was in the pool, and then it would close when she pulled out. And, you know, so that allowed her to do open water swimming and swim in a pool, and made a huge difference. So it's funny how you come up with something, and I'm sure other people who are dealing with the same thing you are can benefit from the hand paddles you came up with.
Yeah, actually, so this year during World Championships, my second year for the competition, my one really good friend, Josh Bogle, he lives in Hawaii. He was competing for Team Hawaii, and I was practicing with him out there just, like, literally a couple weeks ago, and he was like, oh, my gosh, like, I love those paddles. Can I try one? And I'm like, of course. I have, like, five sets of them, and he was like, okay, awesome, and he now uses them to surf.
Look at that. You're going to have your own product line. I like it. The Live Stone hand paddle. That's perfect.
Maybe.
There you go. And now Dad got out here for the Worlds. I saw him helping carry you off after you won the World Championship. How often does he get out here?
Every couple weeks, probably. Now it's going to be a little bit different because of the whole coronavirus.
Yeah, right.
He comes like every 2, 3, 4 weeks.
That's nice.
Which is nice because, like, he'll come for, like, a week or a weekend and stay and, like, watch me surf. And then he holds down the fort, like, back at home.
How many other kids?
I have two older brothers.
And they're back at home?
Yeah, they go to college.
Okay.
They go to Penn State.
Okay. So probably the last event held before this whole coronavirus became crazy was that the Adaptive Surfing World Championships, the AmpSurf ISA World Parasurfing Championships. That, going into that, did you have a feeling that you could win?
Well, like, I knew I was competing against, like, some of my good friends, so I was like, I'm just going to, like, go out there and have fun. Like, I wasn't super, like, worried about winning gold. Like, I wanted to place, obviously, but I was like, this is like an incredible opportunity. So I just wanted to go out there and like do my best. And like, I wasn't thinking of, oh, if I don't win, like I'm going to be upset. You know, it was more of just like going out there and like surfing and like having a great time.
It's so funny because when you think about surfing, it's the, you know, you just go out and you express yourself. It's hard to think of it as a sport that people score points and are competing against each other. There really is a camaraderie, right? It is, because it's so much of who knows what type of set of waves is going to roll in during the time that you're out there, and you're all friends. So is the competitive part hard?
I'm a very competitive person, like playing soccer, and I always like wanted to win, but like surfing has definitely just like kind of mellowed me out. I just really like, I'm just like, it's surfing. Like, I'm just going to go out there and have fun. Obviously I want to win. I obviously want to win. Like, that's definitely a priority, but it's like, I'm surfing against friends, and like, I just have to like surrender to the ocean every time I go out, because like, there could be huge waves, there could be tiny waves, and it could be raining. It rained during the competition.
Yep.
And like, I really can't control any of that. So I can't control like what other people do. I can just control like my attitude out there. And I just went out there with a smile on my face and did my best.
So is the goal now Paralympics for what, 2024, 2028?
Yeah, no, that's definitely on my radar. That is my goal.
Love it. Liv, thank you so much for taking time. It really, really fun to get to chat with you, and just been loving watching the progression and just watching how comfortable you've become in the surf. And just, you know, now you have other kids out there who are dealing with something similar to you who have reached out.
What do you mean?
Like reached out, who kids, maybe kids online who've seen what you've been doing. And are dealing with something similar, where they're dealing with some arm challenges and have reached out for some support or help?
Yeah, I've had some different people like reach out to me and ask me about CAS and like getting involved in surfing and wanting, or maybe even if they're not a challenge athlete, just getting out there in the water and like overcoming any challenge, really. And I just tell them, you know, every time, the ocean is a beautiful place, and like, it will make you feel peaceful at home. It will heal you no matter what you're going through. And like, I just encourage anyone to go out there and have fun.
So how are you handling this now when you can't go in the ocean?
Oh gosh, I know. Me and my mom were talking about it this morning. It's rough. Like, I'm going to skate. I'm going to like do some home workouts, but I'm definitely going to be struggling with it because I'm in the water every day.
That's so cool. Well, hopefully this will end fairly soon and we'll all be able to get back to surfing and running and doing all the stuff we love to do. Hey, Liv, thank you so much for taking time. Always a pleasure to catch up with you.
Yeah, of course, Bob. Anytime.
Liv Stone has been our guest. Again, we are brought to you by UCAN, smarter energy to finish stronger, by VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shops, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 3,921 grants, totaling $5.9 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com, all of your favorite podcast apps. Until next time, endurance lives here.